to the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlasio. It's all for another day of broadcast excellence.
And it is a new day in Chicago. A new mayor and a mandate to create a lot of change in our political system, to say the least.
I never believe when politicians say, oh, this is a mandate, except in this particular case, because it is not just a mandate. I have not since, and this is true, not since Richard M. Daley took on Spanky the Clown in the, whatever it was, it's like the 1991 election.
Sure, you got to go way back.
Has there been an outcome quite like this? I mean, this is like an insane.
Yeah, the Chicago Tribune did that breakdown of where all the votes came in, down to the smallest votes, and she won. Lori Lightfoot won in every ward, just about every precinct, other than in that fourth ward where Tony Preckwinkle is actually from. Those few little smattering of precincts right around her home, essentially, are the only ones she captured.
I spoke to an elected official
today, who shall remain nameless,
who said that he looked at his South Side ward, and he said that there were, out of in his precinct, 358 votes for Lori Lightfoot, 50 votes for Tony Preckwinkle. Now, just think about that number. I mean, it is a very...
Not even close.
No, it's not even close. And what's so crazy is if you look how this whole thing broke out... First of all, it's unheard of to win every ward. I think even Spanky the Clown won.
Might have picked up a few.
Yeah, I know he won a few precincts for sure.
That kind of a name attracts some votes on its own.
Exactly. You're going to get that. But there was not, it wasn't even close. And, what does that say about Tony Preckwinkle? I truly believe this, that Lori would have won this regardless.
No matter which one of the candidates had emerged from that pack.
No. I mean, no. Would have won this. Let me finish this thought. She would have won this regardless. But the Smollett thing cost Tony Preckwinkle 20 points, I think.
So
I think
the signs yesterday didn't help at all.
No. Replacing the signs outside, stealing the Lori Lightfoot.
All that worked for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kind of the
whoever
old sort of machine style running of an election. I would say that the butcher paper going up was a major turning point.
Yes,
because then she
so
was on her heels. Preckwinkle was on her heels from that moment forth and emerged anyway, despite, her own clean ties, but accepted money from the Bergs and, that kind of thing and all that. She seemed to be answering to all those questions from that point forward. And that just sort of followed her in this time when Lori was someone believable and authentic to tout the message of true reform, breaking up the political machine, being for everybody in every ward of our city. But now the real work begins, right? She's got a $300 million pension payment. We got to come up with money for that. That wasn't part of her victory speech. It was an exceptional speech, I thought, last night.
Very,
very moving. I brought tears to my eyes about her own personal story and the things that she was able to achieve. First African-American woman, first openly gay mayor of our city. It just the opportunities that she presents to so many other kids looking at her. She was not... unaware of this moment in time for us, and it was moving to see that. But it just feels as if, she's got a lot in front of her, and we'll see. You got
to
sit.
And the kudos to her dad.
Yes.
That was.
Oh, but you could see when she mentioned her dad and how hard he worked in his life. Had a hard life, as she put it.
He had a stroke and was in a coma for a year, came out deaf, wasn't able to really ever fully recover. It's a heartfelt story. It also, it lets you know that she understands a struggle.
She does.
And that's... That's an important...
game.
Hold on one second.
That is not part of the Lori Lightfoot speech.
Our tribute. Yes, this is not part of the Lori Lightfoot tribute.
Not good feedback there.
I think that what you're going to end up with Lori is the reality. She's about to hit a wall of reality here that Rahm Emanuel, has been saying publicly that it's going to be very hard for her because she doesn't really have a team. She's not from a system. Mm-hmm. And, you can make that argument about Rahm, right? When Rahm won in 2011, I mean, he didn't have a system. But he was
connected to the systems.
Yes, he was. But she is to some degree too, because as soon as she won, a bunch of people put their arm around
people
her.
People knew which way the political winds were drifting, and she sort of captured a couple of folks that know a thing or two about the political system.
Right. And then it was very clear that she had professionals who had jumped in to help her with the campaign commercials and things like that and buying. And so she was no longer a novice. Now, the question is, you have to be very careful in this town when somebody does put their arm around you that they're not stealing your wallet. And you've got to make sure that
there is,
she's not going to necessarily fall in with folks that have a system and they're going to, you know, everybody's got an idiot cousin that has to get hired. And that's true. I mean, that's why God invented the water department. But there's no understanding, I think. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Just kidding.
But
it's all run very efficiently.
Yes. But there is like a, you know, that's what Chicago politics is. Now, here's the other piece.
Mm-hmm.
The Chicago City Council has elected a bunch of yahoos, and what Lori's going to have to do, it's always had a certain yahoo percentage.
Sure.
I would argue 25% of the people are doing it because it's just the best money they could possibly make in their lives, right? And so that always worried me about people who go into the business because they want, like Rod Blagojevich, who wanted to become a senator, wanted to name himself a senator because he'd make $5,000 more a year. I mean, see, now that is the kind of thing.
Seems like the wrong motivation for that type of public service.
Yeah, because it is about service. But so there are some yahoos in the city council. She's going to have to figure that out pretty fast. And she's going to, you know, have to wrangle that and figure out what the real issues are going to be. What is it? There's five Democratic socialists in the city council.
One-tenth of the Chicago City Council incoming, a lot of newcomers. That may be helpful to her because they haven't been around for so long. You've got some of the sort of old guard didn't necessarily reclaim their seats.
Right.
So you've got that to deal with. But you're right. It's going to be a totally new city council.
Yeah.
Totally different vibe.
And so she's going to – it'll be a learning curve. It'll be very, I think, rocky for the next couple of months as she gets this thing together. Now, again, she does not have to get sworn in until May 20th, and by then she will have made decisions. The biggest one that obviously we're all watching is police superintendent.
Yeah.
She did say that she was going to keep Eddie Johnson around. She talked to him about what his plan was for the summer. Because as we head now into the warmer weather, and I am sick and tired, I think now that Lori is mayor, everybody wants to get, you know, everybody wants to get five
Truth
minutes
serum.
With her to like say, hey, this is what you need to do.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to do this publicly.
Okay.
She's got to get the police department to stop saying, well, the murders are not weather related. They are absolutely weather related. When it is warmer, more people get shot. That is just a provable fact.
How many murders do we have during the polar vortex?
Right. Well, we had that one mugging, which I thought was interesting with Jussie Smollett.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Forgot about that one.
There was that one.
I don't know why that one escaped me.
Like,
that was wearing white paint. Polar bears. Have you heard this new theory that it was polar bears that were visiting?
Well, that's a good one. I had not.
They walked down the lake from Canada.
Sure.
That makes sense. That's
the most sensical explanation so far.
He's going with that now. And that might be a better way to go.
But I love how Lori Lightfoot just emerged just in the last hour, I believe, from her meeting with Rahm Emanuel and said it was a very cordial and very helpful meeting. And I don't think all of their prior meetings were as cordial or helpful.
Do you think that they stood in the door jam and then they had an aide put a pencil mark at how tall each one was?
You think he wore lifts?
I do think he did.
Just so in the pictures.
Yeah, I think he did. He was always like standing on his toes.
Like Tom Cruise style.
Right, exactly. If I were her, I would have worn 7-inch heels to the meeting. Lori, what? But it is... It's a big transition. I mean, because,
totally.
You know, let's kind of face it. I mean, Rahm had been around Chicago politics. He was a congressman, and then obviously he went to Washington. He was chief of staff, and he was around the Clinton administration, then, of course, the Obama administration. So, I mean, he knew his way around. He knew all these people. But in a lot of ways, he was a guy who, remember when he came in, he was a nobody sent because he didn't grow up in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he didn't have an idiot cousin that was working on the... in city government, and he didn't have, and so people couldn't come to him and go, hey, you know, we grew up in the neighborhood together. He said, if you're ever going to be mayor, you're going to help me out with this. You
Here
know,
I am.
That didn't happen, and so he, even though he had an uncle, was it an uncle who was a police officer? I'm pretty sure, uncle or a grandparent or
family
something.
Member
he
of
did
some
have
sort.
A family member in a line above him, but he is, at the end of the day. I don't think he was a bad mayor. I think he did as much as he could possibly do to make sense out of the things that he had to make sense out of. And I'm, you know, I'd like to, you know, I thank him for his service because he did not leave this city in a complete mess. The politicians over the years who've been kicking the can, and he's one of them, kicked the can, the whole thing. No one wanted to swallow that bitter pill because they figured they were not going to get reelected. I kind of have a feeling that Lori might be willing to do that because I don't know that she wants this forever.
You get that sense. I was there when Rahm Emanuel gave one of his first speeches that were public after winning the election. And I remember he talked about reform, and he talked about some of those things that we've heard so frequently in politics. But this time, you believe that it's going to be very meaningful reform. At least I do at this moment, and with this candidate, with this mayor, Mayor Lightfoot.
She's got an honest energy about her, but she also has a little bit of a killer glint in her eyes. So that's I think you need both.
Sure.
Broadcast from the United Center before the Hawks take on the Blues. It'll at least be fun to watch.
It will.
That laundry on the ice.
Those jerks.
Sorry,
the hate is real.
Brought to you by Citgo. Fill up at your locally owned station today. Tom Skilling joins us right now, being brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems. And Tom.
Roe.
Tom,
happy midweek.
What an interesting time to be alive, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed. Boy, a new mayor, history made again last night here in the city.
Well, and history made in so many ways, and obviously everybody is pointing to the fact that first African-American female, first openly gay, major city mayor in America, right? That's a big deal.
After that, it would have been Anise Parker in Houston would have been the first.
Yes.
Yeah, but now she, you know, she's the largest city in America to elect a gay woman. It is.
Yeah.
And it kind of, the way the whole thing shook out, it took race and gender and sexual orientation out of the picture and made this about issues. And the issue it looks like voters overwhelmingly supported was reform. And
somebody else.
Yeah, well, or like this political class system we have that sort of benefits the friends of is not working for everybody.
No.
Right.
No, that's true.
That is true. Or how do you get what you want to get? I mean, you know, these people are leaning on Rahm like, oh, you know, he was favoring all of these developers. Well, developers create jobs.
No question.
That's one of the things. They're allowing the city to build tall buildings in places they didn't build them before. Okay. I mean, you know, this is a city. I mean, it's okay. I don't know if people, this is not farmland.
No, you're right. And the business community supported him, and there's a good reason for that, because when the business community is thriving, there is a feeling that, you know, there's more vibrancy to your city, more jobs being created, an economic engine being fueled, and that's important too.
Yeah. A city's got to generate income, and it's got to have jobs. So what are you going to do? I absolutely agree with you guys.
Yeah, so it is, and I know it's tough. I mean, there's a lot of people who are worried that neighborhoods are changing too rapidly for people to actually move out of. But, you know, one of the side effects of that is that if you own your home goes up in value. The bad side of that, and I think we do have to be cognizant of this, and relate to those who are going through this part, is that a lot of other people own the buildings and they're just raising the rent because their property taxes are going up, and that's moving people out that couldn't otherwise move out. That's why the issue of rent control is one that is coming up now for debate in Chicago. They've had it in New York, and they're thinking about doing away with it in New York now because it's been abused for so long.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, there are a lot of issues on the table, but the first and most dire one for everybody is the violence in the streets. And does she have a different perspective on it, and can she make a difference where prior mayors couldn't? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'm sort of skeptical.
That's a tough nut to crack, I'll tell you that. There's so many guns out there in this country, and it's just, it's amazing. And they're getting into the wrong hands.
So, yes, yeah.
And, of course, you know, I was talking to Paul Lisnick last night after the election, and, you know, he points out there are some really formidable issues facing our city. We have a pension issue. All kinds of things. And you drive around with the potholes on the streets, and I often think to myself, how are we going to come up with the money to repave these streets? There's a fortune involved in that, because the roads are, after this crazy winter, in
well, it's true,
pretty bad shape.
It's a time, Tom, when a lot of people are feeling pinched, feeling like you've seen some increases in taxes across the board in so many different things over the recent years that now we still have to go to the well again. This $300 million pension payment that I think Paul Lisnick is speaking of is due soon. It's the $300 million is not funded right now. It's going to have to be part of the 2020 budget.
Yeah.
The new mayor has got to figure out a source of revenue for that, and that's a big chunk of change. You've got a teachers union contract up at the end of June. You can talk about that.
I'm glad you brought that up.
This is reality pills.
Because did you notice there was a little shot across the bow last night in Lori Lightfoot's speech? I want to thank all the teachers who voted for me, which was a shot at the teachers union leadership, which is being reelected next week. So that's sort of like, hey, you lose, because she didn't lose a whole lot of votes anywhere. Right.
No.
If the teachers went in lockstep for Tony Preckwinkle, Tony Preckwinkle would not have lost by 55-0, Tom.
Yep.
50 points. At some point I looked at it and I thought, you know, it was developing like in the first 30 minutes when it came out at like 16% of the vote in.
Right.
And
she was already shooting up.
Right. She was up by 50% at that point. And I'm like, oh, well, that's got to be. Where are they taking those from?
I said the same thing.
And then 30% in it, it was still 75-25. And you're like, uh-oh.
It didn't move all night.
Right. It didn't.
How often do you see an election turn out like that? You know, that's...
You don't.
That's
not since, odd. As I said, since Richard M. Daley took on Spanky the Clown, has there been a smackdown like this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really...
Did he really take on Spanky the Clown? Was that some...
Spanky the Clown was a guy.
You have a better recollection of that than I do. That's pretty amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
So, I remember Len O'Connor here in my early days, and Len was always quite. He didn't mince words, you know. He went after the senior Daley and the younger one. And I remember when Jane Byrne was running, and we had the segments on the newscast around here, and he had thrown Jane some really tough set of questions. She was so sharp. She answered these things and even caught the stage manager giving Len a 30-second cue. She wrapped up this difficult answer and said to him, oh, upon seeing the 30-second cue, and she said, I know you are Len O'Connor. And I'd never seen Len O'Connor thrown for a loop, but that was one of them right there. He said, well... That's true. He says, I am Len O'Connor. He didn't know quite what to say. That's going back. I don't know how I got off on that, but just the mayoral politics. We've certainly seen a range of elections around.
Did you ever think you'd see this day? I wasn't sure in my lifetime I would see someone who was running on this platform of a reform, somebody nobody sent, somebody who came really out of nowhere with no organization, no funding, no name recognition. To speak of and accomplish this in addition to the first of who she is.
Well, let me put on my University of Chicago hat because I've driven past the school
before.
Did you
get in there again? I can't remember.
No, I didn't. I didn't, but I have driven, but I have actually. We have gone down the Midway Plaisance.
Your mom didn't put you in a fake crew outfit?
No, she did not try to get me in there, as she did Northwestern. So here's the... I think what we're looking at is because of the impact of social media and because the tenor of media has turned into, and the tenor of campaign commercials is we're all going to die. Yeah. If you don't vote for me, we're all going to die.
Yeah,
and people now feel more desperate about things than they ever have. And they watch it on social media. They feel worse about themselves and worse about the world and that is around them. And then you throw on top of that somebody who's not from the system. And you start to get so desperate that you're like, okay, well, let's go this direction because all those people who've been doing this for so long, they're the bad ones, and let's go in it. It's the outsider influence. There's an outsider bias in politics right now, and then the outsider becomes the insider, and then you go through the whole thing all over again.
Yeah.
And the question really is now she's benefited from that, and to a way I never. To numbers, and look, it turns out that the participation rate was like it's going to end up around 34%. Mm-hmm. That's still abysmal,
isn't it?
But
doesn't that statistic alone boggle the mind? At what point will people get engaged and feel they have to vote and exercise their Well, they're right in this country to do that.
You know what's really interesting is if you look at where the participation rates were high, and we were able to get, we got an email this morning that had all the different wards and participation rate turnout, essentially, and then, you know, where those numbers went. Yeah. And again, Lori won every single ward.
Ward, isn't that something?
In most precincts, I mean, I think there's a handful of precincts that Tony Preckwinkle won. But when you look at that, you look at where the participation was very high. On the northwest and southwest sides of the city, very high participation, well over 50, you know, high 50s, low 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Look at downtown wards, lower participation rates. But what is most interesting to me is that Tony Preckwinkle, in those wards, whether it's Bronzeville or Hyde Park or South Shore or Lawndale or any of the places where you would think that Tony could have a base of support, the participation rate was very low. And what that tells me is that the African-American vote was discouraged by this. They either found themselves in a situation where they're like, I don't really care between these two people, so I'm not going to show up to vote, or a total sort of disregard for the process. Nothing's really going to get better.
Yeah.
You know, there's people weren't motivated in those neighborhoods to come out, but people were highly motivated, especially where there were city workers. City workers, cops, firefighters, mm-hmm. teachers live in those neighborhoods on the northwest and southwest side.
Mm-hmm.
And as I pointed out earlier, this is an astounding statistic. In Beverly Mount Greenwood, the 19th ward,
yes. mm-hmm.
there was close to 60% participation.
Wow, that's
good.
That's a big number.
And Lori, now you got to remember, this is a lot of white cops and firefighters,
mm-hmm. yep.
especially in Mount Greenwood. Lori Lightfoot won 87-13
wow.
down there.
Isn't that something? Wow.
That's and similar numbers up in the 41st, up in Jefferson Park.
Yeah.
Jeff Park, as they like to say. How you doing? So it's like a pretty amazing. This is an amazing moment. And she does, you know, I hate the term mandate because I never know what that means, but she does have a mandate at least for change.
Yeah.
And so this is a moment where she gets to make some decisions. There will be a honeymoon. Those get shorter and shorter and shorter in the social media era, but that's going to happen here for at least the next couple of months. And then the question is, if all hell breaks loose on the streets, you know, over the summer, if it's a hot summer and a lot of people get killed, she's going to have to figure out what she wants to do about that. And what is Eddie Johnson's plan? And you know what I would really like is that to be very, 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 to be transparent. You know, one of the things that I think was going on was people, you know, wanted to take on Rahm, and that's why there was such attention to having people come down on the train, and there was wilding and stuff on Michigan Avenue over the last number of years. And I always thought that there was some political motivation in that, too. I never thought that that was organically growing out of, you know, a bunch of kids.
Sure.
And their social media.
Wow,
I always felt like there would be, that there was a certain amount of trying to create some chaos and trying to create a payoff, because I've never seen anything in this town ever, Tom. I've never seen a situation, a protest, or a controversy where somebody wasn't trying to make a buck. And so I always wondered about who was behind that, and I wonder if they will, if Lori will be able to crack the code on that in a different way than Rahm was able to.
You know, the one thing you think when you see these issues that face us, be it at the local level or the state level or the national level, thank goodness we've got people who are willing to at least give a shot at this and run. I think about it, and I think it's enough to send stomach acid burning through my abdominal wall. You know, just thinking about these issues.
That. No,
that's a visual.
No, I'm a hypocrite.
Rose's going to have to call his doctor now.
No,
break. Thanks, thanks, Tom.
Call Dr. Zelensky.
Get him on the line.
But I mean, you know, the stress level. It takes a certain kind of personality to look at these issues and believe enough in themselves that they think they can do something about all this, you know?
And she got in before Rahm announced he wasn't going to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So think about that.
She was one of those.
That's really something.
And remember all the political establishment types at that point were saying the person who's going to win this race isn't even in the race yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And right. then you saw all the big heavyweight names with big name recognition in the political world jump into the race.
Yeah, Joe Biden. Oh, wait, no, that's not that. I'm sorry. That's
no,
the wrong race.
He's
all right,
different.
Tom, we've rained out the White Sox game for tomorrow.
Thanks
yeah.
a lot, Tom.
Oh, yeah. That's right? nothing to laugh at. In a way, though, that's a prudent move because what a miserable day it would have been tomorrow. Not that it's going to rain every minute of the day. It won't, but it's going to be cold and breezy. And when it does rain, if we get 43 tomorrow, well, that's probably about the extent of the warming. Not a great day to sit there and watch a baseball
yeah,
game.
Very know? Great. And then it's going to be nice Friday?
Yeah, it'll be cloudy to start with, but the winds will let up tremendously. This should allow some warming, particularly away from the shoreline. So we could be back up well into the 50s Friday afternoon. And the weekend still looks mm-hmm. mild, but I had one caveat, and everybody should be aware of this. There's going to be a southeast wind on Saturday. So while we're talking 60s, shoreline and nearshore locations are going to have to overcome that lake cooling and probably won't do it Saturday. There's hope on Sunday, though, that we may. And we're going to add a 62-degree dew point to the mix, which is really nice, humid spring air. It's that kind of air mass that smells springy and feels
so
springy.
That.
Yeah.
Although, I love
that's what's
too.
Coming on Sunday. And even Monday will be relatively warm for the Cubs opener.
Is it going to be? But is the wind going to be out of the over the lake on
Sunday?
On Sunday?
No, it looks
oh,
right
All
now.
Right.
If there is an easterly component, it'll
now
only be right
Tom.
On the shoreline. I think the wind will kind of parallel the shoreline, which is
Tom.
A way to warm up. You know?
Oh God!
Yeah.
Oh God! The sense.
I know. I'm
Thank
already
you,
planning to open my windows, and in fact, I will guarantee. I'll say on this show that I'm going to do it. So if it doesn't work out, you'll know that I'm freezing. That'll show me. But
there you go. I like that.
I know.
Taking one for the team, Tom.
There you go.
Sticking to his
That's
guns.
It,
yeah,
very good. Very well done, sir.
Anna,
yes. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Tom.
Great
Talk
talking
tomorrow.
To you guys. Anna, All take right. care.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. We get the chef is here. Chef Mike for his last appearance of this hockey season with
oh,
us.
I just,
know.
Yeah.
I don't
like
want to talk
it
about
sounds.
Don't talk about it. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis live before the Hawks take on the Blues. Brought to you by House of Fireplaces, your fireplace experts. They've been giving their customers a nice warm feeling since 1953. How about that?
Love it.
All right. Now, mm-hmm. I want to just say one thing that is troubling to me.
Yeah. What's that?
That Chef Mike is making his last appearance with us.
Oh.
During forever?
During the 2018-19 season for the Blackhawks. However, we're going to be out at guaranteed rate.
Yes.
A lot this summer.
Are you
during
sure?
our shows.
Positive?
Yeah. Yes, positive.
Okay.
So you can join us out there if you're ever in the house out there.
I actually oversee that property as well,
yes,
so I will be
that.
In the house.
Yes, and so we're as a matter of fact, we've got we'll announce this a little bit later on. We can't.
Let's not get ahead
yet.
Of it.
Oh, you're doing
yes.
a Chef Mike, huh?
We're doing right. We can't right exactly. We won't tell you what
Secret.
We're really doing, but we are doing something that's pretty cool out there throughout the summer.
Sure.
Okay.
So, how many seasons this has been? We've never gotten to find out what is in the player's green drink. I mean, this has been going on forever.
We're going into our ninth season here as Levy. Next year will be our 10th season.
And does the green drink fluctuate year to year? Does that?
I think it's been modified once, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I think the current recipe has.
Yeah, changed. If the Kane Tays want it, that's what they're going to get.
It's pretty solidly. That's just like
and
that.
And is it the same for the Bulls as it is for the Hawks?
They do different drinks.
Okay.
So they have different recipes, and I think it's just a matter of the amount of physical activity players are doing at certain times.
Yeah.
During practices or leading up to games. So a hockey player might burn X amount of calories or things
that
versus
is interesting.
A basketball player because of
what do you,
you
think
know,
who burns more calories, do we know? I would imagine basketball because they're on the court the whole time.
Both sports, you never see anyone overweight.
Yes, that's
it's
for
like,
sure.
Like they
for
look
sure.
like they're struggling to keep weight on.
Yeah. So, and that's a big part of it too. Is how does nutrition play into that so that they're not burning so much? Because at a certain point, you start to burn muscle, and that's what you don't want to happen.
Right.
You want to keep that muscle, fuel that muscle, and build it. So. Yeah, there's a lot of science. There's specific tests they do now for people to really find out. You'll get notices that all of a sudden you find out someone, you know, is gluten, and they never knew. And they
That's
did a
true.
Test because they maybe saw in performance, maybe they were a little sluggish or, you know, maybe something wasn't just where it needed to be. Run a test and they realized.
It's amazing
what
they can do now, right?
Yeah.
Dial it right in. And but, you know, it's those two sports, when you stop and you think about all of the when you meet hockey players. And hockey players are always a little smaller than you think they're going to be, right? Because with the pads and the skates and all that sort of stuff like that. But they are in such amazing shape.
Yeah.
I mean, they are. And still, and they, you know, you, even as they get older, you know, they stay in shape. It's a crazy thing. And then basketball players, obviously, it's very the size is very, very different.
Yeah.
But it is, it's just two different kinds of engines. And people say, well, you're on skates. How hard could it be? And why are they only on the ice for 2 minutes at a time? You go try that for 2 minutes at a time and see what happens.
100%, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like the old days anymore, right? Training is an all-year-round thing now for athletes. It's not, hey, you get to go home after the baseball season, hang out at the farm, or do whatever you would do in the off-season, go work your other job, and then come back and try to get in shape, because that's what it was for.
Mm-hmm.
Now they pretty much stay in shape all year round. They kind of have to.
Right.
Yeah.
Football players are totally different, depending on the, you know, the job.
I'll tell you what, though, if you ever want to see big people, like football players.
Khalil Mack.
Mm-hmm.
You see Khalil Mack in person?
It's scary.
It is. Their hands engulf you.
Urlacher is one of those guys. When you saw Urlacher on the field, you go, hey, he's kind of a bigger guy, but he's no bigger than anybody else, and he seems to be maybe a little smaller than some of these guys.
Right.
And then you see Urlacher, and he's like, he is the definition of a brick poop house. He is, I mean, it just doesn't get any bigger than that.
Yeah, and he's running a 4.4 or 4.5 40 with pads at you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. These athletes are just
unbelievable.
Crazy nowadays.
Baseball players are a very, it's a very different thing than when we were kids and when our parents were kids watching baseball, because that has become a full, in shape, working out the entire offseason. Pitchers, totally different regimen than they used to have. It's fun to watch, but you know the differences in the outcomes because you're seeing, you know,
and there's a lot of money invested in the athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was the owner, I'd be the same way. I mean, look at baseball. The Tommy John surgery in the beginning was because of an injury. Now they do it on you so you don't have an injury.
Wow!
Yeah.
Like you take these throwers with that motion, like our guy from Sox,
Copa,
and they do the surgery even though he didn't need it.
He kind of did. They said when he came up, they started to see the issue develop, and
it was going to happen,
right?
Yeah.
And then he had that fluky game, the first time he came out. Then he had to, pitched for an inning, and then he had to stop because there was a rain delay, and they just said, they were like, let's just, because this is the beginning of this, he could be a phenomenal player.
He'll come back better.
Yeah. And that is true. That's totally true. And
I mean, that surgery has saved so many careers.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. I think we should just start implanting extra ACLs in football players.
I don't know how we can do that,
but we should think about that.
Talk to Goodell about that.
How's your Villanova doing? How'd they do in the tournament?
Well, yeah, so let's talk about that. My the worst part of that whole thing was I had no expectations.
Mm-hmm.
They lost four starters off their team last year, so I was happy that they won the Big East tournament because it teaches the young guys how to win. But my wife asked to go to San Diego for her 50th birthday. So we happened to be in San Diego for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my wife's a graduate of Purdue. So they played Purdue. And, of course, if you watched it, you know the outcome.
Yes.
So I took it like a man. You know, I sucked it up and congratulated her.
We turned into a bit of a Purdue team here over the broadcast
team. Oh, the kid was amazing.
That kid is fantastic.
I felt so bad for them.
Purdue-Virginia game was
awesome.
One of the best basketball games I have seen in years. There have been three or four in this tournament. That's the best part of March Madness is you get to see some of the crazy, maybe not always in the final game,
right?
But
true.
In those run-ups, there are teams that are just scrapping to stay in.
Oh,
And
so much heart.
Purdue and Virginia, those guys couldn't miss. It was crazy to watch.
Yeah, I have my son's best friend who actually we compete for certain. You know, we gamble a little bit maybe on the side, and then we compete. Even though I'm 50 some years old,
Kevin, don't ever when you grow up, don't gamble. Don't listen to what
never do something like that.
To what Chef is saying. Go ahead.
Right, but he is. He's a avid Duke fan, so he loves Duke. So, you know, I don't really text them back and forth when they're playing and say, oh, look, your team's losing or anything.
You suck.
But a week and a half ago, I did send a text to him and my son, and it was a picture of a T-shirt from Villanova's run last year. Villanova didn't won every game by more than 10 points.
Mm.
And I remember I looked at that and said, and I didn't enjoy one of those games. So I'm not that guy anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Like, my wife was, like, her brother reached out and said, is Michael losing his mind? She goes, no, he's really not. Because I'm like, they won every game by double digits, and I didn't enjoy it.
How about Duke?
You don't have to stress.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, they talk about who's going to have a perfect bracket. When you have a thing like what happened here this year,
yeah,
where no team, there's nobody, I don't think anybody had the Final Four, right? I mean, it's like one of those crazy things.
Yeah. Well, something like 60% of brackets in a lot of pools had Duke winning it all. Yeah. Certainly, everyone had
that.
It going to the top Final Four.
Well, Zion Carolina, because they were playing so good at the end of the year, people thought they would have that chance.
I should have known when Zion Williamson put his foot through his shoe that wasn't going to end well for the whole rest of the season. All right, can we talk about, do you mind, since we're here and we're all going to be out at the rate on Friday for the reinstated opening day. So if you're just joining us, if you have White Sox tickets for tomorrow, they are good for Friday now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the weather, they're pushing opening day to Friday, which, as Tom Skilling just told us, is very prudent based on what's going to happen tomorrow. 43
fans should
and
be very
a lot
happy.
Of rain, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in the 50s, maybe even touching 60 on Friday.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so it's going to be a nice day on Friday. So is there anything we can expect out at the rate that's going to be different?
We've changed some things. Now, at guaranteed rate, we don't do the full building. So we only focus on the premium areas, which is the club level, the stadium club, and then we have the couple all-inclusives, the scout seats, and the GRC, which is the guaranteed rate club.
The guaranteed rate club is... Now, you can buy tickets for that. You can go online, and you can buy... you get in, and it's like a restaurant, club... And then beautiful seats, you know, in the press box area. It's like that level of the press box. And
used to be the press box.
Used to be the press box.
And and now they moved the press box. Actually, they moved the press box to Wrigley Field, which I think is weird. But the seats are amazing. And I know it's a little pricier, but when you get premium food. I mean, beyond premium food. There's a great Bloody Mary bar. There's a great, especially like on a Sunday game. It doesn't get any better than that.
No, it's like you said, the view is amazing. Besides your chef table, when you go in, there's also an a la carte menu that you can order off of as well if you're not wanting to eat so much food. So there's definitely great options there. And, of course, when you have the full bar, and then as it gets warmer, the slushy drinks. And
it's a really fun, really, really fun afternoon or evening there, and it's a great way to see the game, and you know, and choose your games. I know that there are tickets for that club, Guaranteed Rate Club, all the way through the season, depending on. I mean, you know, maybe the Yankees are sold out by now, but you know, it is one of the nicest stadium experiences for baseball I've ever had.
Yeah, I could sit there all day long.
Yeah,
watching baseball.
So it's nice, and you know, I know you guys don't do the concourse food, but the concourse food. Kevin and Lauren were out there last week and 2 weeks ago, and you know they keep upping the game there.
Oh yeah, it's phenomenal.
It's always been that way on the South Side. Like it's always been, you know, every year let's up the ante. And now we're building to something. Like now it's like let's get our stuff together because. What's going to happen this year? What's going to happen next year? There's that little, the vibe that was kind of here 9 years ago when we kind of walked in here.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawks were coming off a Western Conference Finals loss, but there was that vibe. You know, it was like you saw things trending in a certain way.
Right.
And that's how Sox are now. You see that it's starting to happen. So now how do we get ahead of that? So when the team is really great and the place is sold out, are you ready now to take care of your guests?
Yes.
You got to build to that.
Got a high-end thing.
Yeah.
And this Goose Island that they built is it's a little bit of genius, I think.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
I've seen pictures of it.
It is what they've done is down the right field line, down the first base line. So the right field bleachers. There was a club down there that was the Craft Cave down there.
Yeah.
Now they've kind of reconfigured that around Goose Island. And I always looked at that as underutilized, as like, you know, that was a great place to go and sit and hang out because you could walk out and sort of see, and you'd be literally right in back of the right fielder.
Yeah, you're actually out on the field. There's just a fence in between you and the player.
Yes, and it was super fun. And then, but the seats always up from there. People were never in those seats, and they're great seats.
Yeah.
And so what they did is Goose Island bought the entire section, and they put water around it. So now it is actually an island because it's surrounded by water.
Do you take a rowboat into it?
Well, there's a way. You know what? I don't want to give away the trick yet.
Okay.
But we'll tell you about it on Friday. I think we might be sitting out there on Friday, actually.
Fun.
God bless.
I mean, it is it's absolutely such a brilliant idea. And I mean, and again, you walk around that. I just think I get such a kick because you can do the concourse like you can here. Yeah. You can do laps around the concourse at the rate that you can't do at Wrigley Field.
No.
You run into a wall.
Right.
You run into a rickets.
Mm-hmm.
You run into a bathroom.
Right.
You know, there's always something.
Spill your beer because there's so many people around you moving and
you can't,
elbowing.
Right. Yeah, but you can actually get around it, and it's a fun way to get your steps in. You know, it's in sort
after
of middle innings.
Six pack of beer,
right? With a beer in your hand, it's perfect.
You get your steps in.
I'll tell you, I travel a lot in this business and the lower bowl or the stadium itself is as good as any in the United States.
For sure.
I mean, and it's so much better when there's a lot of people in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the vibe.
Like
of that
Kopech night.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like it's
that
crazy,
exciting.
Right? So I'd say go out and support the Sox. Very reasonable prices. And I have a marketing thing for that area, even though it doesn't belong to Levy. But I don't know if I could say it because I don't know if there's been pictures online yet of that area.
Of which area?
The Goose Island?
Yeah. Or, no, they just call it, I even like it better, Goose Island. It's Goose Island.
I know there's
a
big goose.
You'll know it's Goose Island.
Because there's a huge goose.
Oh, no, yeah,
it's like
that's
8 feet
already.
Tall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's pictures
my
of that.
Thing is run a like a raffle or something for charity, and if someone ever hits the ball in the mouth of the goose, like you win $1 million. Because it is a big goose head. Yes. I've seen it. I've been over there all week.
Oh, it's so cool. It's
it's
very smart. I mean, the White Sox have always been, you go back to Bill Veeck with the White Sox, and they've always been, very forward-leaning in terms of doing things to make it fun for the attendees, as opposed to a corporate board meeting like sometimes you get, up on the north side. But this is going to be a very wild year. A lot of young kids, a lot of great talent. You're not sure what you're going to get.
Right.
They could go on a crazy run.
They could.
And there's a great. And, as we just have a man who just stepped up who can attest, there's one of the security guys who's out there. I like to go sit out there in center, stand out there in center field and hold court is basically what I do. Because that's where all the judges and lawyers in this town, they all have seats back there. And there is, you cannot believe the deals that get done. I'm going to get Jesse Smollett 10 years out there this summer. If there's anything I can do, I'm going to explain exactly what's going to happen here. All right. Chef, thank you so much. We'll see you out at the rate.
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right.
Happy birthday in advance. I hear it's a big day on Friday.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be off, but
I know. The rain.
Things happen.
Yeah. So you celebrate tomorrow. That's what we're all doing. We're turning it around. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Chef. Show with Anna Blantis live in the United Center before the Hawks take on the Blues. Brought to you by Sitco. Fill up at your locally owned station today.
Tough news about the Hawks today, but look how far they've come since January, guys, right? Would you thought they have been here now in this final week?
No.
It's hard to be too upset.
Okay, we got to stop saying that, Anna.
Why?
We just got to stop saying it. I don't know what to do. I mean, it's been more than a decade since they missed the playoffs, now missing it twice in a row. And then remember what happened two seasons ago when they went into the playoffs.
Oh, boy,
and they got swept
do we ever.
In the first.
Sometimes that's a little more painful.
Yes. Yeah, well, I know this is pretty bad.
I'm trying to look at the bright side here.
I'm not going to lie to you. This is not good. I don't feel good about this. But it is. But as we had Stan Bowman on last week, and I said, Stan, please don't break up this team because I really like the way that they seem to be jelly, and let's see what happens next season.
I mean, they're finishing the year as one of the best offensive teams in hockey. The problem is just on the defensive side. So I think you'll see some improvements there. But I think for the most part, you're going to see most of this team back next year. I don't think you're going to see a ton of changes.
You know what I think we need to do?
What's that?
We need to get that walrus in the goal. You know, that's from the Geico commercial.
Oh, yeah.
No sleepies.
That would help.
No sleepies.
How much much do you think he wants? How much do we have to pay him?
I don't think much. I think you're basically doing
a few fish
on salmon.
Oh, well, yeah. And he comes pre-padded, so you'd save some money there,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
On the equipment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get, and he'd be used. He likes lying on ice. It's kind of good.
Comfortable environment.
Yeah. So I think that's our solution, and I think we're good to go.
Tell Coach Culleton about that, because he likes you to give him these sorts of ideas in advance of the new season. I found that.
You know, Coach, I've got some other thoughts for you. Remember when I explained the secret of success in hockey to you?
The day he started.
Yes. Now I would like to explain a few other things to you, Coach, about this. Now, have you ever thought about a sea mammal as as the goalie? All right. Are you ready? Let's do this, shall we?
It's the top five on the Rokon Show. Let's go.
3, 2, 1. Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokon Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Now we're falling apart, technically. We had a good run.
All right. Okay. All right. I was all the people in the bar here at the Goose Island Pub started running for the exit when that started. It's the craziest thing ever. All right. Checking in at
number 5.
The president took a few shots at Joe Biden last night. Oh, this is going to be kind of fun,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Huh. Did he dare him to sniff his hair?
Irony is not part of the whole thing now. Irony is dead, as we like to say. An address to the National Republican Congressional Committee's annual spring dinner, here's what he said.
So we've been here by that time three and a half years. We're going into the war with some socialist. And it looks like the only non-sort of heavy socialist, he's being taken care of pretty well by the socialist they got to. Our former vice president, I was going to call him, I don't know him well, I was going to say, welcome to the world, Joe. You having a good time, Joe? Are you having a good time?
And that wasn't even a drunk edit, was it?
No.
Was that the slowed down drunk version of
nope.
Yeah,
no,
that
no,
was
no, no.
interesting,
no, no, no.
That one part.
No. And then he appeared to be an insult comic. Joe Biden was not the only subject that the president took on. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez earned his ire.
The Green New Deal, done by a young bartender, 29 years old. A young bartender, wonderful young woman. The Green New Deal. You know, but it's crazy. You know, the first time I heard it, I said, that's the craziest thing. You have senators that are professionals, that you guys know, that have been there for a long time. White hair, everything perfect. And they're standing behind her, and they're shaking. They're petrified of her. We support the Green New Deal.
That's a new thing. They keep calling her bartender.
Yeah,
what?
The bartender, yeah.
She was a bartender at one point. I don't know if that's an insult or what they're trying to do with that, but everybody keeps mentioning she was a bartender.
Hey, bartenders are some of my favorite people.
Me too.
They can be very smart people, too.
Can't
really get behind the insulting of the bartender.
Unless they start telling you about not driving cars or flying planes anymore. These bartenders, wacky.
No, but you do tell them all your secrets, so
that's
she probably
true.
Knows a lot of things about a lot of people.
Right. And she was a bartender in New York. God knows.
Exactly.
What she,
oh.
Yeah, you just don't know. I'd be a little careful about that, Maddie.
Which, to remind Donald Trump, that's where his father was born.
He needs that reminder, I think.
He's had quite a week. It was interesting, though, because it does seem that I like how we talked about all of the Republicans with the white hair behind, or Democrats behind her, and all standing in line, and everything was perfect with them. And then all of a sudden, she's up there yelling at, and they're all afraid. Well, I think it's going to be really. This is going to be nutsy, cuckoo crazy for the next, well, till further notice, people. So buckle in.
With different factions within the Democratic Party.
Within everything.
Everything.
I think it's the whole
throw
thing
it
is
all
just
together.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it doesn't matter. The Democrats are going to be nuts. Republicans are going to be nuts. It's just going to be nuts. It's going to be fun to watch, sort of. Although, if it weren't freedom and safety at stake, I'd be in much better mood about it.
Number 4.
Okay, here's Joe Biden. He released a video on Twitter and said he's going to be more mindful about respecting people's interpersonal space.
And I've never thought of politics as cold and antiseptic. I've always thought it about connecting with people. As I said, shaking hands, hands on the shoulder, a hug, encouragement. And now it's all about taking selfies together. Social norms have begun to change. They've shifted. And the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset. And I get it. I get it. Mm-hmm. I hear what they're saying. Mm-hmm. I understand it.
Okay.
And I'll be much more mindful. That's my responsibility.
Okay.
My responsibility, and I'll meet it.
Okay.
Good for him. But I don't think the boundaries have been reset. I just think people got away with it for so long.
I think what they need to do, I think they need to put him in one of those samurai suits, you know, where they, you know,
like blow-up suits?
The blow-up suit.
So he can't move your arms
at all. He can't move your arms, and he just has to go there. And then put oven mitts around his hands. Duct tape them, and then he just goes out and he just does that. I'd like to actually see them do that with the president too. And they have all candidates should have to do that.
That would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, and then everybody goes out and they're all like that. And then they only just hear what they say and they can't get close to anybody.
No, you're at least 3 feet away from everybody.
Yeah,
perfect.
He's good. But he is one of those guys, you know. And he, you watch him. He's just there are people. There's like a whole thing. We see this from time to time in the studio. I've seen this even happen to Anna DeVlantis in the studio.
Yes, it has.
Where
happened.
There are politicians or entertainment folk, mm-hmm. show folk, mm-hmm. who like to come in, and then all of a sudden they turn into like some sort of a Las Vegas act as they're sort of approaching Anna. It's like, I don't know, should I hug? Should I linger and kiss? I saw one guy mm-hmm. actually plant a kiss on Anna's cheek that lasted about an hour and a half. I'm like, traffic is coming up here.
I go. My favorite is when you put the hand out to shake and they go, no, I'm a hugger. Okay. But I'm not.
That's great, but yeah
okay. Thanks for identifying yourself as such. That's not what we're going for here. But anyway, I get it. In Biden, I do believe that he is an affectionate person, and that's all he means it as. But look, he's saying, I'm going to be more mindful.
Right.
Of my behavior.
No more hair sniffing.
And his chief of staff is going to have a taser.
No more creeping up from behind and pulling his shoulders in.
Taser's really amped up these days.
Yeah,
huh?
we got the full taser. You're gonna drop him when all of a sudden he starts to lean. He puts his hands on the shoulder from behind the shoulders of a woman and leans in. And the next thing you know, I'm down.
Shock collar.
Yeah. That was a weird move, though. I got to tell you, that's it's kind of a strange. Now, a couple times, some of this stuff was taken out of context. There was one woman that he was actually consoling that
and
has
she
come
was
forward,
okay with it.
Right? That's Ash Carter's wife, and she came out and said, "Listen, you took that picture out of context. I was, you know, upset, and we've been friends for years, mm-hmm. and it was okay. That was fine. Okay,
I was very comfortable with it." She said.
the woman who was complaining works for
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders
is really,
So that's a little something, but. It's kind of a weird thing to all of a sudden feel somebody kissing the back of your head.
Well, the way she describes it, you get kind of, you know, you get the heebie-jeebies as you listen to it. That he pulled her from behind out of nowhere, grabbed her shoulders toward him, and she could feel his breath on her hair, and then the kiss was planted out of nowhere.
Heavy breathing.
You know what you need to do? Next time we see somebody coming in for the kill with you, just turn around and see if they kiss the back of your head.
Just swat. Be like, is there a bug? Is there a bug on me? Smack him on the face, and you'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't expect a face to be in the back of my head.
Yeah, I didn't. Sometimes that just happens.
Yeah. Well, you know,
especially with politicians.
Oh, my God. And these are old school guys.
Yeah.
Man. They've been kissing. They kiss guys. That's when it gets a little weird. I had a...
Do you get kisses from politicians?
I've gotten kisses. I actually got kissed
on
once.
The lips?
All right. I've told the story before. This is true. The great Sid Luckman. The only quarterback that they've ever talked about in Chicago Bears history.
Uh-huh.
I was at a restaurant, and I was with a bunch of guys that Sid knew, and I looked like one of the guys that Sid knows well, the son of one of his friends. And we go slide. He's sitting in a booth at Gibson's. He was one of the initial investors in Gibson's.
Uh-huh.
People don't realize that before he passed away.
I did not know that.
And I slide into the booth, and here comes Sid Luckman, and he kisses me right on the lips.
Oh, boy.
And he's like, you know, old man. He had the old man puffy wet lips, right?
And his corners of his mouth, like some food.
And he goes, "Nice to see you, Johnny." And I'm like, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, "Who the hell's Johnny, and why am I sitting here next to Sid Luckman?" And he just kissed me on the lips. And then you want to do that thing where you kind of want to, like, you know, wipe it off.
Yeah, kind of blot it.
But the guy's an NFL Hall of Famer, right? And he's the most important quarterback in the history of the Bears, and, you know, you got a kiss. So now,
you know, and now you have this story for the rest of your life.
I'm just going to take it and you know, enjoy it. And I got, and you know, it was never going to be president. So, yeah. All right, we'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. Our live broadcast from the United Center before the Hawks take on the Blues, brought to you by Ditch Witch Midwest since 1970. Ditch Witch Midwest has been your partner for trenchers, cable plows, and directional drills. Visit ditchwitchmidwest.com. All right, we've worked our way all the way to
number 3.
It's a new chapter for Chicago. Mm-hmm. Lori Lightfoot is the first African-American woman to be elected to the city's top job, also made history by becoming the first openly gay person to be elected mayor of Chicago and the highest ranking openly gay mayor in the United States of America.
Yep.
Right? Now, so I guess Pete Buttigieg, it turns out that...
Good pronunciation.
Thank you. Chicago is larger than South Bend, is what I just learned there.
A tad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A little
right.
bit.
Now, here's the deal. She won all 50 wards. All 50 wards. Tony didn't get a single ward. She won by 50% of the vote. She had 366,000 votes to Tony Preckwinkle's 10. I mean, 10 whole votes. That was Tony and some of her friends.
Unbelievable.
So while thanking voters at the CTA station at Clark and Lake, she was asked about what is she going to do about the biggest problem in Chicago, which is the violence.
Look, our kids' lives depend upon keeping them safe, and that has to be a fundamental duty and responsibility for me as mayor. And that means that we have to continue the hard but necessary work of bridging the divide between the police and the communities that they serve. I know every single day that lives literally depend upon it. Our children have to be safe, and I'm determined to do everything I can to make sure every kid in every neighborhood, regardless of zip code, economic status, race, or ethnicity, is able to live a life of safety. Without that, nothing else is possible. So that is a sacred obligation that I take on willingly.
Okay. Welcome to the job.
Well, but you know what? The knock on her all along has been she hasn't held elective office and she doesn't have, you know, experience in that realm. But in the area of policing, she has certainly been a student of this and in a leadership role for many years now. And despite what others have said, she has been critical of police officers when they've done something wrong. And she also, she understands that issue more than most.
All right. Checking in at
number 2.
Geek alert, geek alert, geek alert. Nerd alert. That's a secondary geek alert. The trailer has dropped for the upcoming Warner Brothers DC Comics film, The Joker. Joaquin Phoenix is going to be the Joker. It's directed by Todd Phillips. It's hitting the theaters in October, but fans were offered a brief glimpse of the latest adaptation of Gotham City. Other people in this movie, Robert De Niro, Francis Conroy, and Bill Camp.
Arthur, does it help to have someone to talk to?
My mother always tells me to smile and put on a happy face. She told me I had a purpose, to bring laughter and joy to the world. Is it just me, or is it getting crazier out there?
Oh, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
I'm not very excited, and I'm a huge nerd or geek, as you like to say.
See, that's funny, because I'm not, and I love this trailer, and I cannot wait to see this movie.
I'm not feeling it, personally.
I'm not either. I honestly have not been impressed.
Because it's not so geeky?
I've not been impressed with DC movies as of late.
The whole Tim Burton Batman era was great, and I thought the more recent, the Christian Bale era was really, really good.
Yeah.
But the Joker, it's really very hard to get past that Joker. You know,
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger Joker.
God, you know, he was like, so impressive.
I don't know. But listen, they got to make a movie. Like, look, they're remaking movies an hour after they have been made. Right. This is the thing. They go, you know what? We're going to try it a little differently this time. They just put another cast in, and everybody goes for it. So we'll see what happens. And finally,
number 1.
Uh-oh.
What?
millennial alert. The USDA says the country is going to be out of avocados in 3 weeks.
Oh, dear
what?
If the president actually closes the border, scenario is so dire that it begs for a blockbuster movie. Thankfully, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert was able to answer the call.
Donald Trump has shut down the border with Mexico, and America has run dry of its precious avocados. Now, renegade gangs of health-conscious millennials roam the landscape looking for green gold.
Give us the avocados for our toast, or you will die! I know it's high in fat, but it's the good kind of fat. It's called oleic acid. Look it up!
Defend the avocados.
Every day they get browner and smooshier.
But if you want to save the avocados, talk to this guy.
Avocados? You talk to me.
Mad Guac, the avocado warrior.
Desperate times.
Yes, I know. And this would be a desperate measure.
The top five at five.
Live broadcast. The Hawks take on the Blues. Brought to you by House of Fireplaces. Your fireplace experts have been giving their customers a nice warm feeling since 1953. All right, it does not get any better than this for me. I can say that as a lifelong Chicago Blackhawks fan and as a child, the owner of the Phil and Tony Esposito hockey game. I cannot believe I am standing here with Tony and Phil Esposito. It's just, and I got to just say one thing, Tony. Phil always beat you in that game. I don't know how that worked out.
In the hockey,
the little tabletop hockey game.
That's not true.
That's how it worked out, though.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a Hawks fan. I was always a Hawks fan. All right, you guys are doing the One More Shift tonight.
Yes.
And what a great tradition this is.
It is.
And an honor to have this. And I should also say this. Two of the top 100 hockey players of all time, both Hockey Hall of Famers. Mm. What's in the water in Sault Ste. Marie? How'd this work out?
There were a lot of guys from the Sault. In fact, you have a kid named Perlini playing for you. I think his grandfather, right?
Freddie, yeah.
Freddie was one of the best hockey players I ever saw in my life. And he went to Detroit, was going to make it, but then he got homesick. And he left. But they led six-team league. So there was a lot of things going on there.
Yeah, I bet.
But he was a heck of a player. But my career started with Chicago. And
you played four seasons here?
I played three and a half.
Okay.
I got called up in January of 63. And played until 67 when Kenny Hodge and I and Freddie Stanfield got traded to Boston.
Yeah. How'd it go in Boston? Whatever happened up in Boston. Anything good happened to you in Boston?
Oh, gee, yeah.
Yeah, oh, you think?
Yeah, a lot of things happened well in Boston. It was a little bit of a transition, though, for me, because Chicago, we ended up in first place, and Boston was dead last. But it didn't take us long to get there.
I'd like each of you to tell me your favorite memory of a head-to-head. Of him taking a shot on you and you saving or letting it through.
Scored 50 goals? Or 50
oh, yeah.
Goals.
I happened to score my 50th goal, I think, two times. I don't know. I can't remember how many times I scored 50, but maybe five or six. Mm-hmm. But two times on my birthday, which is February 20th, against him.
I let
but
him
for
score.
Me, the best one was the very first game.
I'll bet.
Because it was a 2-2 tie, and he was outstanding. And after the game, I got a call from his wife and from my mom. Different times, obviously.
What did your mom say?
Well, she said she
Why
was so
happy. Why are you doing that to your brother?
Then when I told her that I scored both goals, she said, how could you do that to your brother? You're dirty so-and-so. And she wasn't very happy with it, but... over the years, she always said that she would watch me play, but never would watch Tony play.
Oh, that what that
goalie?
Okay,
last line of defense and the pressure.
I just hope tonight neither one of us falls.
Oh, please, I know.
I heard you were out on the ice this morning, or you took
Tony,
put
I
the
tried.
Skates on, Tony?
Lucky I tried. Not me, though. But I skated about a year and a half ago in Russia, in Red Square, actually.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about it. It's such an interesting difference now, the game in the United States, than it was in the 60s and 70s when you guys were at your prime. So many foreign players, right? Obviously, the Russians are here after the fall of communism there. Those guys came over. And then they came over, and then they receded again. They went back to the KHL, and now you're starting to see some of the stars come back into here.
Right.
Talk about the difference in the game and what you see there.
Well, you can't hook a guy. You can't interfere with a guy. You can't knock the guy's stick out of his hands like we used to do all the time. If you didn't hold on to your stick, you knocked it out of the guy's hands. That, to me, is the worst penalty they've ever created in the game. And I don't like it because guys were taught to hold on to their sticks properly. And quite frankly, I don't like the fact that these guys can run the goalie. And they do. They run right into the goalie because the net. In our day,
the net gives away.
The net was about, they had steel in the post. So you didn't go,
right,
or else you get hurt.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the net comes off the post, so the guys go right at the goalie.
Yeah,
that's why we get a lot of goaltenders hurt.
Yeah.
Well, they had to do that because guys were getting hurt, right, going into the...
Well, you were stupid enough to go into a post with a steel wad.
Phil Esposito, hold on a second. Phil Esposito, are you telling me that there weren't a couple dumb guys in the NHL back then?
Absolutely. No, I played with a couple here. No. What was he? CH. We call him Cementhead. Reggie. Reggie Fleming. Dumb.
Calling him out.
He's not here. I think he passed, unfortunately. I think he did.
Well, if he hasn't, it'll be news to him.
No, he'll come after me. Yeah. I'm ready, Reggie.
You
got to catch me first.
You two got to drop the gloves right now. That's
no
what I'd like to see here.
No.
All right, well, good luck out there. Have fun out there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob.
It'll be a ton of fun, and it's always great to see you, Tony. And
great.
It's an honor to meet you, Phil. It is two of the greatest hockey players of all time in the NHL or anywhere else, Phil and Tony Esposito. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, gentlemen.
See you, Tony. Today's broadcast from the United Center for the Hawks Take on the Blues, brought to you by Geico. Visit McGeico.com or 800-947-AUTO. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And right now, be calling number 19 at 312-981-7200. Win a family four-pack of tickets to see the White Sox take on the Mariners Saturday.
Nice.
At the Rate. There you go.
We'll be out there on Friday.
Yes.
For the home opening day.
Right. Home opener has been moved to Friday. This is an important point.
Mm-hmm.
If you were planning on going to the White Sox home opener tomorrow, it has been postponed due to inclement weather.
And Tom Skilling says it's a darn good thing that it is, because it would not have been a comfortable day at the ballpark.
No. As a matter of fact, it's been a horrifying day at the ballpark, he said.
He did.
Yes. 40s and horizontal rain.
Ah.
So
we don't need that.
Who needs that?
That's not baseball weather.
And low visibility.
Actually, it kind of is baseball weather in the beginning of the season in Chicago. It's kind of how it
felt that way lately.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I mean, they keep moving the season earlier and earlier and earlier, right? I think, back when Babe Ruth was playing, they didn't start the season until May, I think. And then, they played till they were too drunk to swing.
Before
and
you
then,
know it, we'll have baseball at Christmas.
Yeah.
Be great.
Well, now that's the other thing, too. They noticed that they pushed it back because they're getting too close to that November 1st date that they wanted to have the Game 7 of the World Series or were to occur there. So they're getting too close. So they've pushed it. So they've added this, half week earlier piece this year. And then they take more time off, right? Isn't there going to be an extended break?
You could blame the players for this because they bargained for more days off. That's why they had to move it a week earlier. And Game 7 of the World Series would be Halloween night, so they're avoiding the November games. But the baseball can't win because the past few years it went late. It went into November, the first, and everyone's like, why are they playing this late in the season? What are you going
to
do?
Why do you have to play so many games? That would be my first
revenue.
Question.
Yeah, revenue. Right, exactly. How, I mean, it's. I can think of 475 million reasons that they're going to have to play some of these games.
You want to pay Mike Trout $430 million? Got to find a way to generate some revenue.
How about Bryce Harper, though? Already getting booed. Already getting booed.
And he homered.
Until yesterday.
How about that bat flip? That was something.
Ooh. Chills.
Yeah. So.
Chills watching that.
Chills.
There's, this is, this, you know, this could be an interesting season. And I don't know, you know, listen, people want to go out, they want to see these great players play. But it is fun when you got a young team that with a low salary cap, because you can't get mad at them so easily, right? Bryce Harper whiffs on a ball. They're going to go, what in the?
Yeah. Well, he struck out in his first at bat, and they went nuts.
Yeah. Well,
but, then, they were in Washington. And... but then he got him later in the game. Hit a homer against his former team. So he got the last laugh.
Right. But
and $330 million.
Yes. Yeah.
He's laughing.
Exactly. Although if he slumps in the middle of the season in Philadelphia.
Yeah, they'll get on him.
Yeah. There's good. It's going to be bad.
They only have 13 years of him. Get used to it, Philly. He's not going anywhere.
Right. That's right. That is true. All right. Well, we wish everybody the best of luck in Major League Baseball this year. We wish ourselves the best of luck. It's going to be nice on Friday for the home opener. And the Cubs are going to have nice weather on Monday for their home opener, which is, I think, the first time in history.
Seriously. It feels like it.
April is just a tricky, it's the cruelest of months, of course, as we all know. It is so tricky to play baseball because if the wind turns off the lake and you got both of these, both stadiums, right, are within a mile of the lake. So you're not, there's really, unless you want to put up a gigantic wall, build that wall.
Build that
wall.
That's
what I say. Build a wind wall so that you can protect the stadium.
I'm all for it.
This is what it is. Live broadcast at the United Center for the Hawks. Take on the Blues, brought to you by Citgo. Fill up at your locally owned station today. You know, Kev, I think the Hawks are really going to have to win this one tonight if they want to stay alive.
Sure, let's go with that angle.
Why? You're just making it worse.
I am making
you're
it
worse. Just playing with us.
Well, okay, can I just tell a little story from last
night? All right.
Can I just, do you mind if I tell a little story?
Sure, let's hear it.
All right. So, you know, it was election night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a busy night. Lots going on.
Actually, not really. It was all kind of over at 7:10.
That's true. That's true. When the first results came in at 7:15 and it was 16% in and she was already up by 75%, everybody was doing the math. Can Tony catch up? And so I was over at the Fox 32.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what had happened was by the time we got on the air at about 8:45 when Tony Preckwinkle decided to go on and wish everybody luck and then talk about how great of a job she has done at the county board as the president there.
It seemed a lot like a victory speech, didn't it? It kind of felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
All the things she's going to do now from this point forward and...
So at that point, the Avalanche game was still on, and what we knew yesterday going in was that the Avalanche could not score a point. Right,
they had to lose. Earn a point in the standings. If they earned one single point, we knew it was over.
Right, and the Hawks had to win outright.
Correct.
Right, that was it. That's what we knew yesterday.
Yes.
And so I'm sitting on the set of the Fox 32 news, and I'm my phone is buzzing. And I'm thinking it must be, you know, somebody from the political world, you know, talking about something or another. And no, it was not. It was our own Lauren Lapka who was texting scores to all of us. She was updating where the Avalanche were in this. And there was a very exciting scoring update in the second period in which the score was 2-0, not the Avalanche.
Screenshotted it and everything.
Yes, sent a screenshot, and I'm on the desk at Fox, and you know, we're just coming off of you know whatever it was, you know, Tony Preckwinkle taking a victory lap for losing by 50 points, and I look at the thing, and I kind of do like a yeah like that, and then they're all looking at me like, hey, did something just happen? And I'm like, oh no.
Unrelated.
No, I'm good.
Unrelated.
I'm good. Then about 5 minutes later, she sends another screenshot that shows that the Avalanche are up 3-2.
That doesn't help.
Now, I don't know, was there a mechanical thing that happened there? So then when that happens, I'm like, And I didn't realize this. At that point, the camera was on all four of us up on the set, five of us up on the set. The wide shot. And I do this thing where I look at my phone, and then I become crestfallen.
You're very expressive.
I'm like, damn it, like that. And again, they turn to me, is there something going on?
Ro, what do you have for us? I got nothing. Back to you, Mike.
Checking hockey scores.
Right, and I had to like make up this notion that it was like, oh no, it's you know.
There's I knew I shouldn't have done it, and I did it anyways.
It's okay.
I have the worst luck timing ever.
All I wanted to know. Trust me, that was the only thing I was interested in at that moment. It was that the race was already over. It wasn't even, it was just a runaway victory. And, we were just going to watch, them get up and, say something. That was it. I didn't really care all that much about the aldermanic stuff. Although I was interested in that Hinsdale vote about the swimming pool.
Let's wait till that comes in.
I was very interested. That was a very, everybody, all the TV stations were like seizing on the Hinsdale school board vote.
Right.
And it was a lot too, because that was kind of crazy. And at that point, I was just crestfallen. And people thought that I was like a big Tony Preckwinkle fan, because I was almost like in tears, during at the end of the broadcast, because I'm like, okay,
Hawk season's
over. We're going to Mana. We're not playing for anything. And all we wanted was at least for tonight to be consequential.
We did.
It felt like a playoff game.
Right.
I blew it. I'm sorry.
What'd you blow?
I'm taking full responsibility. I know me. I'm not supposed to talk about it. I'm not supposed to brag if we're ever winning, because once I do, it changes completely.
Did the Avalanche score three goals in 1 minute? What
Something like
there?
That. Like, yeah,
they
did you see have. The time difference?
Yeah. There was like 5 minutes later.
It was legit. Oh, Lauren sent a text. Change it. Score every goal possible right now.
I wouldn't take it too hard, Lauren. We could probably point to those 8-game losing streaks early in the year to kind of ending their hopes of the playoffs rather than you screenshotting
your
score.
Yeah.
Don't take it too hard on yourself. But you did contribute. We're not going to let you completely off the hook here.
Tough to hear Patrick Kane give an interview today saying, can't believe season's over. So frustrating.
My favorite tweet from today was somebody posting the clip from Good Will Hunting when Robin Williams is talking to Matt Damon saying, it's not your fault. And he says, this is my message to Taves and Kane. It is not your fault. Because they had unbelievable seasons.
But the other half of that interview is when he said, it's frustrating, especially when a lot of us feel like we're in our prime.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you're like, yeah.
Right, I was just talking to somebody about that before the show. It just feels like a waste when, especially Taves, who the past couple of years hasn't been himself, and he comes out, he's matched his scoring totals, career highs. And Patrick Kane's having an MVP-like season. Feels sort of kind of like a waste, to see two of your leaders that have been the leaders for a decade come out and try to lead the team. And they really did. I mean, they wouldn't have been in this spot if it weren't for them. And this spot, I mean, at least in the playoff contention over the past few weeks here. But great seasons for them. Look, I don't think we're going to see a whole bunch of change this offseason, because you right now the Hawks are one of the top three offenses in all of hockey. Mm-hmm. Defense is the problem. You're going to see some changes there. Stan Bowman's going to make some changes on the defensive side of the ice. But I think they're right there. And, I mean, think back on this season. Joe Quenneville was the head coach to start the season. That's a massive change. You're Hall of Fame coach, one
Huge.
Of the best coaches of all time, led him to three cups. All of a sudden, boom, you're putting Jeremy Colleton, who graduated from high school like 10 minutes ago. He's your head coach all of a sudden, taking over for Joe Quenneville. And it took some time. It took, they went through some really rough patches there. But I think the guys are buying into Colleton. I think they're right there.
It's not like a three-year rebuild, or something like that.
No. I don't think so at all. I mean, I think next year,
like some other sports. But there's a window, and you talked about this, Ro.
Yeah, there is a window.
There is a window.
You are in the championship window, and you're in a window with Kane and Taves. I mean, that's
Kane
the
and
issue.
Taves. And but look at the emergence of DeBrincat. Dylan Strome came on. Perlini, those type of guys.
Yes.
We've talked about that, mixing in the younger guys with the veteran guys.
Listen, we can let Bodie handle this a little bit in just a few minutes. He'll pick us up. He'll make us feel better about all of this.
I hope so.
I just don't know. I just now admitted publicly that I wasn't paying any attention to what was going
that's
on last night.
That's what we've learned. Way to be a professional, Ro, on election night.
Election
Good
night.
Job.
You saw
I'm
Ro
like,
staring at his phone on the set of Fox 32. He was not looking for election results.
I got hockey to worry about here, people.
Damn it. Ro, what do you got for us? Nothing. Back to you, Mike.
The freaking Hawks are out of the playoff. Back to you, Mike. I don't have time for this election.
I'd like to blame Tony Preckwinkle for this, too. It was, listen, this is all very, this means a lot. This has been in my entire life as a Chicago sports fan.
Yeah.
This has just been the most amazing run since, obviously, the Bulls, you know, their 6 championships in 8 years, right? That was crazy to watch. This is the hockey equivalent of that. You just don't do this, right? It's very hard to
be so much harder in hockey than in basketball.
Right, and you did have other teams, you know, come to that level as well. Pittsburgh, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I stop talking about them. But it is, you know, we live in an era in which we want to have winning franchises here. Bears are certainly in ascendance. They are the NFC North. They're expected to win the NFC North and make the playoffs and make a deep run this year.
Believe it or not, they look like the best positioned team in Chicago right now to do some damage.
Yes.
I mean, looking at the, you know, projecting moving forward.
That's true.
Which is shocking considering how bad they were just 2 years ago.
I just want to say this. That as much, and the White Sox are in a rebuild, and obviously you're starting to see some things come together. Even after, what is it, 5 games now, you're seeing you get to see why it is that people are being optimistic. Yeah. The Cubs are
still very much in a championship window.
They're totally in a championship window, but I don't know what it is about the Cubs at this time of year where they don't act like champions. They don't take the field with that, you know, that sense of, oh my God, here they come.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, you know, they are probably, if they're not the most, they're the top 3 most stacked teams in the entire Major League Baseball, right?
No question.
So that should be, you know, that should be something. Now, the Bulls, on the other hand, I would like to point out.
They're in the bottom, way bottom, way, way, way bottom. They're in the basement.
Yes.
Below the basement.
What happened? Like, oh, man.
Well, so many things happened. This is the anniversary of the Jimmy Butler trade, right? Isn't it?
Two years.
Yeah. 2 years today. And that was, all right, we don't need him. We're going to rebuild another centerpiece.
Why do we need him?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he's traveled a little bit in the NBA now, That is just a disaster on
so
hardwood
bad.
Is what it is.
It's so bad.
And as much as I love Zach LaVine from Maroon 5, I just don't think that you're... is that the guy you're going to build around? I don't know.
Zach LaVine, Otto Porter, Lowry Market, and those are the 3 that I guess matter. Chris Dunn doesn't look like your point guard of the future. And there's really not a whole lot outside of that. And
I like how they had to rest Lauri Markkanen because he was exhausted. You know, that's what they say about rock stars.
Medical thing going on there, yeah.
Yeah, when rock stars, you know, have to go away for a little while, for, you know, 28 days at a time, they always use the exhaustion. Please, I would like to say to the Bulls PR people, don't use the term exhaustion. Even if that's really medically what's wrong with him, you know, call it a hammy. Call it something else.
Upper body injury.
Right, upper body, right.
Do the hockey thing, right. Upper, lower body.
Right.
Very nonspecific. We accept that somehow.
Right.
It's okay.
Exhaustion means, that's
like,
bad.
Wow.
Yeah. He's going to be in passages. You know, that's all you think about. And I don't, you know, it's tough. I can only imagine. I don't know, is this the coach of the future, do you think?
Boylan, at least for the next, he'll be here for next season. I don't know. The Bulls are exhausting to even think about.
You're getting a headache.
Sit Kevin out. He's exhausted.
Yep.
Tapping out of the Bulls conversation.
I just hope the King County Cougars are hot this year. All right. That's it.
And the Rosemont Hot Dogs. Look out for them this year.